Well, welcome back to Evident Life Church, and welcome back to a missional Christmas. This is our Advent series for the month of December. It's a missional Christmas because that's really what Christmas was and still is. It's a rescue mission. Jesus being sent as the elite force of heaven, God's only Son, to come to this earth to rescue people from darkness, to bring them into his family, to put them on his shoulders. Man, that's love. That's Christmas. It was a mission, and it still is. Jesus, remember, he said, it's recorded in Luke 19:10, that he came to this earth to seek and save the lost. It's a seek and save rescue mission. Last week, as we were looking at a missional Christmas, we were reminded that Christmas is a mission of hope. We examine the reality, and all of us can probably raise our hands because we've all run into the reality that we have an epidemic of hopelessness in this nation. I mean, we're the richest nation that's ever existed, yet there's an epidemic of hopelessness. And last week, we allowed Jesus to remind us that the cure to hopelessness is hope. And we were then instructed by the Word of God that Jesus is the hope. He's the cure. He's the living hope, the cure to hopelessness in our lives and in our world. I ran across an interesting story this week. It resonated with me, so I'm going to share it with my church family. It goes like this. It was a few days before Christmas. Two men in Florida decided to go sailing. That's, you know, getting on a boat with a sail, right, and getting out on the water, right? So they decided to go sailing while their wives went Christmas shopping, and I thought that kind of made a lot of sense to me. Sounded like a good idea. But when these guys were out sailing, a violent storm appeared out of nowhere. It was all they could do to keep their boat under control. While they were maneuvering their way back to land, the boat became grounded on a sandbar. And so these two guys had to jump out of the boat and start pushing their boat to get it off of the sandbar back into deep enough water so they could resume their journey to safety back to the shore. They were knee-deep and almost neck-deep in water, in mud. Waves were crashing over their heads. It was a dangerous experience. But it was at that time that one of the guys looked at his buddy and he said, "You know, it sure beats Christmas shopping, though." I'm joking, honey. I love Christmas shopping with you. It's wonderful. And this is why some of us use Amazon, too, right? But, you know, in many ways, this is how we live our lives. In an effort to avoid pain or Christmas shopping, right? In an effort to avoid the hurt of life in a desire to seek personal protection and personal satisfaction, in an effort to keep up with the Joneses, good luck, by the way, in an effort to experience happiness in our lives, we settle for a life that's riddled with chaos. As we're seeking happiness and the easy life, we find ourselves in the middle of a whole bunch of storms. Sound familiar, doesn't it? Been there, done that. I believe the Lord wants to remind us that he came to this earth on a mission of peace. And that's the title of the second message in the Advent series this year in our missional Christmas. Jesus came on a mission of peace. We're going to take a look at the real chaos that we tend to put up with. And we do. We all put up with a lot of chaos. We allow ourselves to be in a lot of storms. But as we look at the chaos and are honest about the chaos we put up with, we're also going to look at the reality that Jesus is our restorer of peace. Isn't that beautiful? He's our restorer of peace. How many of you want a little restoration and peace of peace in your life? You want some of that? I want some of that. Isaiah 9:6. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. I wanted to preach a whole message on that because I can't wait for the government to be on the shoulders of Jesus. Come back, Jesus, reign and rule. You are our king, and we're desperate for you. But the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? Say it. Prince of Peace. Jesus came to this earth. It was prophesied by Isaiah, and the Prince of Peace came to this earth, and he brought peace. He came on a mission of peace. So we live in a world of chaos. Can I get an amen? Amen. I know, it's brutal, right? It's a world of chaos. Tears people down. It's a world where families are attacked, marriages are attacked. It's a world that motivates us with fear. I mean, just watch the news. This world is all about motivating people with fear, and fear can be very effective at motivating people. But whenever we're motivated by fear, we're always being drugged in the wrong direction, right back deeper into the chaos and into the storm. Fear is a horrible master. Horrible master. See, the kingdom of this world is a kingdom of chaos, but God's kingdom is a kingdom of peace where the lion is going to ultimately lay down with the lamb. I mean, it's serious peace. But what is this peace? What is peace? And that's the first question we're going to answer. We're going to let God answer for us this morning. What is peace? We all want it. We're all in the storms of life. We're all dealing with chaos. Almost every hand went up when you said you want some of your peace restored from Jesus. What is peace? Because there's a lot of confusion about what peace really is and what it isn't. Is peace that moment when all of our relationships and all of our circumstances of life are just working out for us? Is that peace? Is peace that time when everything is going in our favor? Life is going my way. That's peace. But is it possible to have something that surpasses the circumstances of our life? Is it possible that there's something from the Lord that ensures that we will have peace no matter what, that will never waver, that will never disappear, no matter what is going on around us or what's coming at us? What is peace? We're promised that there's a peace from God that transcends all understanding. That there is a peace from God that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That's another level of peace. And it's a promise. It's not a suggestion. It's not a maybe so for the people of God. It's a promise for the peace of God that there is a peace that goes way beyond what we could ever hope for or imagine, that'll blow our minds, that will guard us, protect us. And like we said last week, our God is a promise-making and a promise-keeping God, and he has promised us peace. Can we say this again together? I think it's important. Every week I just feel compelled that we agree together that he's a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. So will you say this after me? Will you say with me, my God is a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. And he has promised me peace. Peace. Amen. So there is a peace from God, a peace for us right here. And right now, not a fairy tale kind of peace, not that we just talk about it, not we just do Bible studies about it and send little notes to one another, you know, on Facebook and scripture passages, but don't really expect it to happen. No, there's a peace that's really for us right here and right now that we can enjoy in the midst of this stormy life that we live in. Check this out. This is found in Matthew 8, beginning in verse 23. Jesus got into a boat, and his disciples followed him. It's all about a boat thing, I guess, this morning, right? Boats and storms, and what are we going to do when all of that is happening? Jesus got into a boat. His disciples, they followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake. Talking about Lake Gennesaret, Lake Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, those are all the same body of water that have different names referred to differently in Scripture. So what did they do? They got in their boat, they went out on the water, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, and the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. In other words, Jesus, he was at peace. He was at complete peace. I want that kind of peace, man. I need to sleep better. How many of you want to sleep better? Lord, give us some of that kind of peace that lets us sleep no matter what's going on in our world around us. So the disciples then, they went and woke Jesus up. I didn't think that was very nice. They hadn't learned their manners yet. They needed to spend a little more time with Jesus. So they went and woke him up and they said, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. In other words, Jesus, do you not understand what's going on? The storms of life are about ready to take me out. And I've been there where I've cried out to the Lord that way, where it was so crazy and chaotic in my world that I just fall on my face and say, Jesus, help. And that's a good prayer, by the way. Just cry out for help in your time of need. And Jesus replied, he said, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Completely calm. The men were amazed. They asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Isn't that comforting? That right there alone should give us some peace this morning. That the winds and the waves of life obey Jesus. At his name, they will and they are silenced. The next time the waves are crashing over your life, just cry out with the name of Jesus. Speak his name over those waves. See, Jesus had a peace that the storms of life couldn't rock. Jesus wasn't at peace because the world around him was peaceful. Rather, there's a peace that transcends the chaos, the storms, the pain, and the bad news. And this peace is our inheritance. Right here and right now. So, as we're looking at what is peace the absence of something? Is peace the absence of chaos and confusion and pain? Or is peace the presence of something? Or maybe better said, the presence of someone. What we're learning this morning as we go to the Word of God and as we're being reminded of the mission of peace that Jesus was on when he came to this earth 2,000 years ago is that peace is the presence of the Prince of Peace, and his name is Jesus. So let's go deeper into peace. Want to go deeper? See what I'm doing? We're doing all the water thing and all that. We're going to go deeper, all right? Deeper into peace. Second question that we're going to look at this morning is this. How do we find this peace? We all want it. How many of you want it? You want the peace that passes understanding? You want the peace that allows you to just sleep in the middle of the storm, right? We all want it. How do we find it? The band U2, they have a song, says, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Some of the lyrics go like this. I have climbed the highest mountains. I've run through the fields. I've run. I've crawled. I've scaled these city walls. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Still haven't found it. So here's the important question, because peace is elusive, but it doesn't have to be. It can be hard to find peace, but it doesn't need to be hard to find peace. The question is this, is where are you looking for it? Where are we looking for peace? What are we doing to find peace and to make peace? That's a trick question. Follow me, right? What are we doing to make peace? I hope one thing, looking to Jesus, right? Because we don't want to fall for the lie that we can manufacture peace, that we can somehow create an peaceful environment in and of ourselves through our own efforts. And that's what a lot of us do from time to time. We're so desperate for peace that we make every attempt to create peace in our lives, to manufacture peace in us and around us. if I just keep control of my life, if I just can control my schedule enough, if I can just control my commitments and not overcommit, control the relationships in my life, then I'll find peace. No. No. That's a lie. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and you're not. You're not. And the circumstances of your life are really out of your control for the most part. And thinking that you can control peace and that you can create a peace that passes understanding that will guard your heart and your mind is crazy. You've tried it and you've tried it again. That's called insanity. Keep trying the same thing, getting the same horrible results, but you keep going back for more. No, what God wants to remind us is that He is the one who came on a mission of peace. And He, as was prophesied in Isaiah 9:6, is the Prince of Peace. And peace is found in and through Him alone. So let's look a little further here. How do we find this peace? Jesus said, it's recorded in John 14:27, "Peace I leave you." Look at that word. Not peace I tempt you with, but peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I don't hang it out as a carrot. Try to get it. Whoop. Try to get it. Whoop. No, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Thank you, Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So maybe you're saying, all right, that's the kind of peace I'm looking for. The kind of peace that Jesus is leaving for me and giving me. The peace that's not like this world. I want some of that. Bring it on, Jesus. Okay. Then we need to go a little deeper to see where this peace comes from and how we grab hold of this peace and walk in this peace that Jesus is leaving us and giving us. And the way we're going to do that is we're just going to look at the full message of Jesus here. We're going to look at the full context of what Jesus is talking about when He's talking about leaving us and giving us peace. So we're going to stay right there in John 14. We're just going to back up a few verses to verse 23. And let's see what Jesus does here, how He walks us in to this kind of other than supernatural peace. See, Jesus replied, He says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That's the message that Jesus has for us, His church, today. So Jesus has just revealed the kingdom of God's secrets, that the promise of peace comes to His followers not through managing or manipulating circumstances of life, rather through obedience and through the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're saying, what does obedience have to do with peace? Jesus is just connecting the two. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, why are you changing the subject? I really like the sermon about peace. Don't change it to obedience. Peace is a five-letter word. Obey is a four-letter word. We shouldn't be using four-letter words in church. That just came to me, by the way. Anyway. Obedience. See, well, look what Jesus did. He tied obedience together with peace, with a peace that we can have that transcends, that's otherworldly, that comes from heaven. Why does He do that? Because obedience is coming into agreement with God's will for our lives. A lot of people struggle with obedience because they think of it as hoops they have to jump through. Do's and don'ts is all it is. Religious things that we have to meet the mark on. That's obedience. Stop doing this. Start doing this. And God will love you. No. I mean, yes, but no. Let's look at the bigger picture of this. Obedience is coming into agreement with God's will. And when we come into agreement with God's will, there is peace. There is peace. Jesus is promising that we will experience peace when we are in His will. Seems so simple, doesn't it? Makes so much sense. Is your soul at peace? Seriously, is your soul at peace right now? Are you living in the will of God? Are you submitted to the will of God? There's peace in that. Peace for your soul that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ, in His will. I can testify to this reality that when I am venturing outside of the will of God for my life, I find myself the furthest thing from peace. I find myself in turmoil. I find my heart and my mind just spinning and the furthest thing from peace. Chaos begins to overtake me when I just start venturing outside of God's will for my life as a child of God. So we find peace through obedience, through living in agreement with God's will. Do you want to know God's will for you? Read this book and read it some more. Enjoy reading this book. Get excited about God's will for your life because it's way bigger and better than what your plans are for your life. Way bigger and better. I mean, we're talking otherworldly, supernatural, heavenly, hope, peace, joy, real life. Promises all over the place in here for us. Protection for us. So obedience is a pathway to peace. But you know what? There's another ingredient to peace, and that's Holy Spirit baptism. Let's go back here to John 14:26, where Jesus just talked about obedience and the importance of that. And then he says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you, will guide you, will direct you, will lead you. He's going to teach you all things and remind you everything that I have said to you. See, when we allow the Prince of Peace through the Holy Spirit of God, remember, they are one. It's the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we allow the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ Jesus, to live in us, to move in and through us, to direct our lives and our actions, to direct our thoughts, to redo and revamp our desires that we have within our lives, then we will experience a peace from Jesus that He's promised us. The peace that He leaves. The peace that He gives to us that we'll never experience anywhere else. In Exodus 33, let's jump back a few books. Exodus 33:14. Scripture says that the Lord replied, and He said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. When we are living and dwelling in the presence of God, when the presence of God is with us, in us, we find rest. When we come into God's presence, how many of you know that? When you come into the presence of God, there's rest. I mean, sometimes I get so much into the presence of God in the prayer room, I actually fall asleep. That's ultimate rest, right? Come on, praise God for that. But there's rest. There's a peace that comes upon us when we come into the presence of God and know that He is God. It's a promise. When God's presence, the Holy Spirit, is with us, is living within us, then we will find rest, we will find peace. Have you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you formally, have you decisively invited the Holy Spirit to fill your life, to move in your life, to have lordship and permission to fully fill you and operate in you and through you? Have you invited His presence to reign and rule over, in, and through your life? We all have the deposit of the Holy Spirit when we come to Christ Jesus, when He becomes our Lord and Savior, and we get salvation. We have the deposit of the Holy Spirit. And that deposit, Scripture says, guarantees our salvation. But have we asked for the fullness or the baptism of the Holy Spirit? See, Paul came across some believers in Ephesus. It's found in Acts 19. I'm going to look at verse 2 and verse 6. And he came across these believers and he said, hey, did you guys receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they're believers in Christ Jesus. Salvation in Christ Jesus. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And when Paul placed his hands, and they hadn't, and so Paul placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, these people who already received Christ, who are already believers, followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit then, at this moment, came upon them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. Supernatural God stuff started to happen in their lives. They went from glory to glory, being ever transformed into the likeness and the glory of God. Yeah. See, God has so much for us as His people, but God is a gentleman. Jesus didn't force Himself on you. Did any of you have Jesus come and tie you down and force you to receive Him as your Lord and Savior? Okay, if you did, that would be really wild. No hands up in the room. Thank you. No. Jesus offered Himself, His life. He offered Himself as a free gift, as a gentleman, and said, here I am. I'm yours. Receive me. Receive me. And the Holy Spirit is God, the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Like the Son, the Spirit is a gentleman. He waits for us to receive Him. He doesn't force Himself. He doesn't force Himself on us. He waits for us to receive Him. And He has so much for us. And He invites us to allow ourselves to be baptized in Him, which baptized just means to be filled, to be poured into to the overflow. Just as we go down in the waters of baptism, we are immersed in Christ Jesus and we come out as new creations, right? The same thing with the baptism by fire or the baptism of the Spirit. We are immersed. We're allowing ourselves and just accepting and receiving and longing for the full immersion in the Holy Spirit, for Him to fully immerse us and to come over us and to flow into us, through us, and out of us for God's glory. We long for that because we know that we not only need it, but we just want it. The presence of God, the move of God, we are His. We're not our own any longer. Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit? I think about that in these terms. By beginning, we can't be saved without the Holy Spirit moving on us and drawing us to Christ. I mean, we were lost, right? We were enemies of the cross. But the Holy Spirit, having mercy on us, changes our hearts and gives us an opportunity to receive Christ. And are we so foolish after beginning, after being brought into salvation by means of the Spirit, are we now trying to finish? Are we now trying to live a Christian life, a supernatural life, and experience the fullness that God has for us by means of the flesh? By just working it all out on our own now? Thank you, God, for getting me started. I kind of got it from here, and I'm going to play it safe type thing, right? No, there's no peace without a person's soul, for a person's soul without the presence of the living God ruling inside of them. And so I felt compelled because the Lord Jesus is tying together obedience and peace and the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives and peace. Does that make sense? I mean, look at this. If we are living obedient lives, meaning that we are embracing the will of God for our lives, we're going to find peace. There's peace in the will of God. There's also peace in the presence of God and in the presence of God filling us. I mean, if God's presence is moving in us and through us, where is there room for fear and doubt and chaos and anxiety when God is pouring in us and pouring in us and pouring through us? This is what Jesus is saying. I've got a peace that the world will never give. I'm going to leave it with you. I'm going to give it to you. And so today we want to make this available. If you desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to fill you, to immerse you in Him, if you're ready to say there's no place that's off limits for you, God, come fully into my life. Have your way. Live and move and have your being in me, God. I'm your vessel. I'm your temple. Then we want to make it available at the end of the service in the prayer room, which is through that single door into the right, which is also the cry room on Sunday mornings, that we're going to have some ministers in there that would love to just pray with you and lead you into just saying, come Holy Spirit, baptize me. And so if that's you today at the end of the service, just make your way over into the prayer room. Take advantage of that. Come on, there's peace that follows all of that. There's so much. It's an amazing, just like these believers that Paul came across, right? No, we've never walked in that. We love Jesus, we've never walked in that. Whoa! So we're promised peace. When we try to make it on our own and find peace on our own, we end up forfeiting it. When we allow God to live in us and through us, and when we come into agreement with His will, we begin to see peace taking over our lives. Question number three, the last question, very quickly here. Are we called to bring peace? We know peace is a promise for us. Jesus brought it, came on a mission of peace, the Prince of Peace. We only find peace in and through Him. But are we then called to bring peace and to give peace? Remember that we were commissioned by the Lord to continue His mission, to continue His rescue mission, to be His hands and feet, to be His ambassadors here on this earth. And Jesus actually called us to be peacemakers. It's in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. And we can be peacemakers because we have received peace. Because you can't give something you don't have. But when you have the living hope, the Prince of Peace in you, now you have something that you can give somebody that matters. You can give real peace, the Prince of Peace, to others. When you've experienced peace and you have the presence of God living and moving in you, you can then give that which God has put inside of you out to other people. And so, yes, we are called to bring peace into our world and to introduce others to peace. His name is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Now is our time, church, to show peace to the world, to show them something that they don't find anywhere else. How can we be calm in the midst of the storm, like Jesus was? How can we still have hope when there's an epidemic of hopelessness going on in our world today? How can we still praise the name of Jesus when we lose a loved one? How? How are our hearts and our souls not in anguish and just totally ripped apart because we've got the Prince of Peace? And it's not anything like the world gives or experiences, because it's straight from heaven.